Okay, did you get a handout tonight? We're going to continue our series, but before we get into that, I do want to mention, of course, I hope that you'd be with us and be praying for our youth conference. It is an important thing. Remember, many years ago, Pastor, we were in a staff meeting with all the guys. Sounds like a tin can. We were in staff meeting with many of our staff men, and I don't know where it came up, but Pastor said, I don't know how he came up, but he was asking the guys' testimonies what made them decide to serve God and live right. And almost to a man, all of our staff members, the younger ones, said, you know, I was at a youth conference this year, and I heard someone preach. I was at a youth conference this year. I was at this certain youth conference. And so the youth conference is very important. So I encourage, first of all, that sounded better, but I don't have any monitor, and that's going to kill me. I encourage us, first of all, let's get all of our teenagers here, okay? Let's be here. Let's let them be involved. And I mean this. If you're struggling with something to get them here, you come see me. You see Brother Ross, and we'll do everything we can to help you get here for that. And then I encourage you, be here, and let's be a blessing to the churches that are here. I'm excited about one thing that we're going to do. When Brother Tongdi was here, speaking to us, and he was talking about their youth conference and showing the videos of their youth conference in Laos and how they took them, and he mentioned that he only charged them $3 and it took them $12 more to, I think, get their visa to get over into the other, to Thailand. And I thought, you know, what would be neat is if we could help sponsor some of those teenagers and get them to their youth conference. And then I thought about Brother Board, and I called and talked to him. They don't have a youth conference per se anymore. What they do with their youth is kind of tied into their family camp. and so what we're going to do, we have a couple of videos we're going to show, but we're going to take special offerings several of those nights just to, if we want to help sponsor some of the teenagers over in Southeast Asia to get them to their youth conference. And I think that'll be kind of neat. So I'm giving us a heads up. Listen, $15 to $20 to get one there, that's not much. And I think we can help, and I think they'd get a lot more over there. Brother Joseph, who's not here, his wife is at the hospital having a baby. He's not having a baby. He's fine. But he actually preached at the one in Laos, and it was just tremendous. And so something I'm excited about, and I hope the delegates that come would also get involved, and the teenagers, maybe one of the teenagers here would say, you know, I can put $15 in, and I want to help sponsor someone in Southeast Asia. So I'm really excited about that. We are in our series on Psalm 119, and we're still kind of in the first lesson phase. It's got three sections to it. We're looking at what Psalm 119 describes. And we're not going to read the verses right now. They're there for you. We'll read them as we get in to the message. But, you know, a Christian's never going to be as dynamic or as blessed as their relationship to God's Word. In other words, to the degree that we have a relationship with the Bible will be to the degree that God can bless us and work in our lives. One of the very first classes I ever took in Bible college, the teacher got up and said, what you do with the Bible determines what God does with you. And I would also say what you do with the Bible determines what God does to you. Yeah. Okay? And so we need to build our life around the Word of God. And so we in this section that we've been looking at to get started in our series, we looked at, first of all, the first week we looked at the words that Psalm 119 uses to describe the Word of God. Last week we looked at the word that how Psalm 119 describes the Lord, realizing that the Word of God is only as powerful anybody's word is only as powerful or true as they are. Okay, and so we looked at the attributes of the Word, and those attributes of the Word are correct because they're attributes of God. We know God is perfect. So we've looked at the Word, we've looked at the Lord. Today we're going to look at how Psalm 119 describes the blessed. The Word of God's been described, the God of the Word's been described, now the Christian of the Word is going to be described. God wants to bless us. Now I don't understand that, okay? When I know man, you know, we know who we really are. We understand the frailty of human flesh. And the fact that God would still want to bless us is beyond me. But there are prerequisites to that. God's blessing isn't just arbitrary. Well, you're saved, you're going to get it whether you get it or not. Now, eternity is not is settled, it's final. It's because of the moment in time when we trusted Christ as our Savior, that's settled. But how things turn out for us on this earth is not settled. That's going to be determined primarily by our relationship to God's Word. Psalm 119 is much like Psalm 1 in describing a person who is blessed, also in Joshua. Let's look at those verses together in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Now, by the way, somebody who's not saved can do those things, and that's going to help them. But they're never going to be completely blessed unless they do the other things. Okay, it's not just what I don't want to use the word rules, but it's not just the things we don't do that gets blessing in our life. That needs to be coupled with a relationship with God's Word. Verse 2, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." How would you like anything you do to be prosperous? That's a good promise, right? I mean, I take that. Well, let's look at Joshua 1:8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." God promises that twice. Now, we think that blessing is arbitrary. You're like, wow, he'll do whatever. So whatever I want will be blessed? Yeah. What if I want the wrong things? Well, you wouldn't be meditating on God's Word. You wouldn't be, as Joshua says, observing God's Word. But whenever we seek to know and learn and obey God's Word, and it's a part of every area of our life, God promises blessing in any area of our life. You know why? Because in any area of our life, we'll want what God wants. And because we want what God wants, He can bless that. And so God wants to bless us. And we see it in Psalm 119 in the first 8 verses. Let's look at this. Who is the blessed person? Well, I want you to see several things this evening. First of all, letter A, I want you to see, we see their prudence. Their prudence. "Blessed are the undefiled in the way." Undefiled means completely and entirely in accord with the truth. A person is undefiled is, we would think of maybe the word, you know, they're clean. And they are clean in the way. The way means a road or a journey that is taken. This person who is blessed is a person whose life follows God's word as they follow the path of their life. In the path of life, there are many opportunities and temptations available to get us to deviate from God's word. By the way, that's what Satan wants. Satan is always going to try to mess us up in God's word. Well, how did he get Eve to sin? He picked away at God's word, questioned it, confused her, and then he went in for the kill. He denied it because he knew if he could detach her from the word of God, that she would ultimately do her own thing and she would sin. And along the path of life we live, there are things that are going to come our way that are going to try to get us to get disattached from God's word. Temptations will come, okay? People will try to push you in the wrong direction if you're not careful. And if we're going to be undefiled in the way, the only way that happens is because a person is prudent. The person that's undefiled in the way, that doesn't happen on accident. They're being careful in their life. This is what is a prudent person? It's one who can look at their path and see the potential dangers that could cause them to become defiled. See, too many Christians are ignorant. I didn't say dumb. Now, some of them are dumb. Just kidding. Ignorant. Ignorant is usually something that's willful. Remember, wisdom has nothing to do with your IQ. Wisdom has everything to do with how you relate to God's word. But see, we just live our lives, and yeah, the Christian thing will work for me, but I'll just kind of go and I'll kind of pick and choose what I do. But a prudent person who stays undefiled in the way is able on the path of their life to see things and see them and think of them from God's perspective and see what they can lead to. See, too often we make snap judgments. You know, we just yeah, this is fine. Well, what's it going to lead to? Whenever a person gets into sin, they do something godless that's going to have horrific consequences. It's because they never thought about the consequences before they did it.
Yeah.
You see, if you think about the consequences before you do something, you won't do it.
Yeah.
Well, how do I get prudence? How do I know what the consequences are? Become a person of the word.
Amen.
Okay? And that's vitally important. Being prudent is a result of having wisdom. Proverbs 14, verse 8 says, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. Where is their wisdom? The wisdom and their prudence is that they understand what's going on. They understand the way. They see the direction that something can go. They see the end of the matter. The folly of fools is deceit. Got to understand our way. We got to understand what's coming. They see problems up ahead before they get too close to the danger. Proverbs 14:15 says, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. They don't just believe everything. They try it out. The reason many people get caught up in sin is because they don't know enough God's word to help them see these dangers. Many people, they hear and see some of the things that our particular type of church, and really when I say our particular type of church, we're just trying to be scriptural or biblical. They see that the kind of church we are, and sometimes their response is, I don't see anything wrong with that. Why do I have to do that? But what's that all about? Okay? Well, some of the things are prudence, right? I can give you examples, but we're not here to go all day into that, but some of the principles we espouse is because we're trying to be prudent. You can go down the line. You hear us mention some of the things. I don't believe... And we don't believe in teen dating. Okay? Well, you know, I know a couple that they were high school, they were sweethearts from the time they were in four years old and everything was fine. That's great. That's an exception usually. But the vast majority of things we see with teenage dating, it's nothing but practicing for divorce or setting themselves up for immorality. There's no way a relationship progresses, you want more. My first date of my wife, the first date, I thought, she's a good girl. And I was very interested in her. But as we dated, I wanted more. I wanted a closer relationship. And we were in college and we were older, and that was building towards marriage. Always bothers me, by the way, and this has nothing to do with message, I'll just throw it out there. When a couple can date, like, oh, we'll just date for 4 or 5 years, we're okay, we don't need to get married. That means they're not waiting on other things.
That's right. Come on.
Teenagers can't do that. Now, maybe there are some that can, but 99.9% can't. Cell phones. I don't think teenagers ought to have cell phones. You say, oh, you're just, why? Is a cell phone evil? No, but it gives access to evil, and a lot of times teenagers can't handle that. Okay? So my kids got to get one. Get them a flip phone, you know, or get them two cans and a string. You know? Get them a peeper. Do you know what's on this phone? Social media. By the way, last year, I was in the car with Brother Gray. I was driving him to the service for youth conference. And there was a situation he was dealing with. And it was a game that one of his teenagers had. And it involved social media. And through that, they would do certain things. And then questions would pop up like, would you be willing to do this with the other person? That kid was getting in trouble because of it. You know? It's just, you can have your kids have a phone. I'm just telling you, if you sat in my office, you wouldn't. Sometimes I wonder if adults should have cell phones. Okay, we'll move on. The point is, when we have principles like that, Well, look, you say you got on the teenagers. Okay, let me get along with you adults. Not being alone with someone of the opposite gender. Not texting and having a relationship with someone of the opposite gender, even if it's work. Oh, it's just a work lunch. Don't be dumb. Okay? You say, is that sin? I can't say it's really sin, but you're going to be sinning soon. I can say this, if you don't go to lunch with them alone, you're not going to sin with them. Prudence. So I'm just saying, let's be a little prudent here. Let's think things through. How about that? All right, we're already behind. Letter B. We see their progress, who walk in the law of the Lord. Walk means to move forward. Understand this. We will only make positive progress in our Christian life as we are making positive progress in our personal devotion in God's Word. If you are not making progress in your time in God's Word, you are not progressing in life as a Christian. Oh, you can make some steps, but there's no fuel behind it. You know what it's like? It's like you ever drive through the five? What's that called? The grapevine, right? You go to the grapevine? I like the end. You know, at the end, you know, I know you have to fight the way up. When you get to the end, it's downhill. It's like we're coasting. And next thing you know, you're going 80, 90 miles an hour, and it's like, I want to see how far I can go. So maybe I shouldn't. You dodge in and out of cars, and you get to the bottom, and it's flat now. And you're going to keep going, you know, and eventually you start slowing down. It's like, all right, I got to hit the gas pedal again. How many of you are like that? Or you come down from Big Bear? I guess I'm the only one that's weird. But eventually you're flatlining and you're going to have to hit the gas pedal. You know, you can make progress without the Word of God, but you're coasting. Eventually you're going to run out of fuel. If we're going to make progress in our way, we have to walk in the law of the Lord. Do you? Here's the think of. Do you have a specific time daily? Do you have a specific place daily? And do you have a specific plan daily? Okay? Find a place. Okay? Find a time. And then get a plan. Every year I like to mix the plan up. You can just, if it's easy for you, you can start Genesis, go through Revelation. But I'll go several different times through the Bible a year and I'll mix it up. This year, it's two times through the Old Testament, and it's four times through the New Testament. And since I'm teaching in Revelation, I read a couple chapters of Revelation Day. But I just do that to kind of motivate myself. What am I going to do this year? And I'll kind of put, but there has to be some type of plan. If you're going to make progress, it's got to be in God's Word. Give yourself a plan. Get after it. A struggle to remain faithful in our daily time in God's Word will show itself in our struggles to live faithfully in God's Word. By the way, if you have problems, come to my office, but one of the questions I'm inevitably going to ask you is, are you spending time in God's Word? A lot of times, that's the problem. And so we'll try to get that nailed down, but let's just get doing what we're supposed to be doing. Let's make progress. Progress in God's Word will always result in a progress in God's will. I want to follow God's will for my life. Stay in God's Word. Stay in God's Word. And I guarantee you will. Letter C. We see their protection. What do I mean? Verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. The word keep means guard. Guard. To make sure you don't lose it. To this person, their passion is to protect themselves from becoming disobedient. You know, in our society, disobedience is a sign of, you know, you're cool and you're part of society. That's a worldly concept. We need to throw that out. Well, you know, rebel with a cause. Rebel's not a Christian. Okay? Christians aren't rebels. Christians are rebels in one way. We rebel against the world. Right? So if you're like, man, I'm a nonconformist. I'm a rebel. I want to do my own thing. Hey, live exactly like God says, and compared to the rest of the world, you'll be doing your own thing. Okay? And that's a good thing. But we have to guard that. We guard it from all the things that would fight about our friends, influences, technology, lack of spiritual disciplines. And by the way, if you're struggling, you know what it is that's causing you to struggle. Fight it. Protect yourself from it. Ditch it. And you'll do a lot better. And so let's be very careful. Most Christians are very flippant about their obedience level, but a blessed Christian is very vigilant about their obedience level. You've got to be careful that they don't let things get in there that kind of do that. I was going to say number D. Letter D, we see their passion. Passion. We might see this in a later lesson. I haven't decided yet. And this, continuing on in the verse. And they seek him with what? Whole heart. You look through Psalm 119 several times. Whole heart. I like that. I don't like half-hearted people. Okay, I like them personally, but I don't like the results in their life. Man, if we're going to be for something, let's just be for it. If we're going to go for something, let's just go for it. And I've told the story before. I had been saved for several years. I wasn't serving God, so I decided I'm going to start going to church on Sunday morning. And my brother was in town. He was a Christian, but he didn't live here. And when he was in town, I'm like, and he was kind of was going to leave early. He was there for the weekend. I said, if you go to church tomorrow morning, I guarantee you I'll go with you. And I'll probably get mom to go with you. Let's just go. And he's like, I'll stay. And he stayed and he took us to church. And I'm like, I'm going. And I want 4 Sunday mornings. That was it. No Sunday night. No Wednesday night. But all it took was 4 services. And you kind of got to make a decision here. Am I going to be wholehearted with this thing, or am I just going to be half-hearted? I'm like, I'm not going to be half-hearted. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it. I started going to all the services. Let's be passionate. Let's be wholehearted. You ever see an athlete? There are so many more athletes, if you like sports, that would be more successful if they were just wholehearted about what they're doing. They all want the big contract, but they don't want to get up at 5 in the morning and run 3 miles. Okay? And so let's be wholehearted. Let's take Christianity seriously. Let's take the Word of God seriously. And let's not look for a spiritual shortcut. Letter E. We see their purity. We see their purity. They also do no iniquity. See, if they're doing the things I've been mentioning, they're not going to be involved in... Now, all of us are going to sin, okay? But I'm talking about the and I know all sin is sin. Don't bang me over the head with that. But I'm talking about the sins we think about. The sins we have a chance not to do, and we willingly, with our eyes open, say, I'm going to do it. We would say the big ones. The more we do follow this path, the easier it will be for us to quit doing those things. Okay? It will be. Now, there's always a struggle. There's always a fight because we're in the flesh. But I know this, if you're in God's word, it's a lot easier. If you have no ammo to fight the enemy's going to win. Say, what do you do if you get attacked by someone bigger than you? Grab a weapon. A weapon that will neutralize them. Okay? Well, Satan is a bigger foe than we could ever fight. The flesh is a bigger foe than we can ever fight. The world is a bigger foe than we can ever fight. Equalizer's right here. In fact, it's not only the equalizer, it's the eliminator. Okay, it'll just take care of everything. So by the way, purity is not a dirty word. Somebody tell you, these kids are goody two-shoes. I want goody two-shoes. And by the way, we don't pull this stuff at our school like, that person saw something, they said something. Oh, they're a narc. No, they're a Christian. Now, don't come say if a kid spilled milk, but you know what I'm talking. If you know someone's going to do something vile, say something. That didn't go over very well. Because you have the wrong philosophy. Right should be celebrated. Amen. Not wrong. Amen. All right? And so let's be pure. Let's be right. We pride ourselves on the nonsense that we do. Why don't we pride ourselves on the good things that we do? I knocked out 4 people in some video game show. How many people did you get to witness to on Tuesday? How many invitations did you get to give? Did you get to sign up somebody on your bus route? Hey, those things are big deals. Okay? Letter F. We see it in their path. In their path. They walk in his ways, and we kind of saw a form of that earlier. Our course of our life. If we look at it, our life should match up. The path of our life should match up with the path God has for us. Okay. By the way, do you know God does have a path for you? Now, there's 2 of them. The easiest path to figure out is this one. It's the Word of God. If God says do it, don't pray about it. Just do it. Okay, it's simple. I want to know God's will for my life. Open it up. Everything God says in here is His will for you.
Yes, sir.
I'm an exception to the rule. There are no exceptions to this rule. Okay? And I'll hire a good lawyer. That's not going to work. Okay? There's another path, though. What God specifically wants you to do. Now, that's a little harder to figure out, isn't it? So how do I figure out exactly what God wants me to do in my life? Maybe I'm wrong here. I doubt it. Although my wife explains I am sometimes. Follow this word. If I do what this Bible says each and every day, you know what will happen? 10 years from now, you'll be exactly where God wanted you to be.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
Because I don't know what God wants 5 years from now. Okay, but I do know this. If I follow God every day for 5 years, odds are I'm going to get there.
Yep.
Are we following him? Are we even open to that? We see it in their path, and we really got to hurry. We know the verse. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Letter G. We see their persistence. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently, with force, abundantly. Now, don't take this as a criticism, girls. One of the things that used to frustrate me to death when I coached the girls' volleyball team, first of all, that was a punishment from Pastor Esposito, but anyhow, one of the things that used to frustrate me is they were not naturally aggressive like guys. We would play a football game, right? And the guys would be struggling, and I'd take a timeout. And I'd yell at them, you sissies, they're running you off the field. Do you even care? And they're foaming at the mouth like, you just wait and see. I'm like, good job. Basketball, come on. Great. Girls, it's like, we're ready. And you get in the game, and the ball comes, they all just stare at each other. I'm like, was someone going to get that? Well, I thought she was going to get it. But occasionally we would get this. We had one girl, I had her on the bench, and I didn't think she was any, I didn't know. And she kind of, I thought she had a little bit of an attitude. And I'm like, I'm just leave her on the bench. And one of the girls didn't show up for a game. I'm like, you get in there. And I'm like, she got every ball. Even when the girl on our team called it, she just couldn't in front of them. Well, they were all standing around like they were nailed to the floor. She was like everywhere. And I'm like, you're a starter. Okay. It doesn't matter what's going on. You're a starter. Just don't kill anybody. Let's be good here. But you know what? Diligence. Most Christians are like that. If it was a volleyball game, most Christians are like, are you going to get that? Let's be diligent about it. We're diligent about other things, right?
Yeah.
Girls, maybe not volleyball's not your gig, but I'm like, hey, let's go to Ulta. Guys, if you don't know what Ulta is, you don't have daughters. By the way, I'll encourage you, don't go there. For Christmas a couple years ago, I took, I think it was Lauren, Allison, and Hannah. Like, we were at Kohl's, and like, I'll take you to Ulta and buy you guys something. And they all each pick something out. And I go up and I pay for it. Literally, the bag was like this small. It had three small items in it. And the lady goes, that'll be $127.32. And I said, are you serious? And she said, that's a good deal. And I looked at my daughters and they're like, Dad, that's a good deal. I'm like, never again. Okay? Love makes you do stupid things. The point I'm doing is this. Let's keep God's commandments with diligence. Let's be as diligent to obey God as we are in the other things of life. Lastly, and I think this will be an encouragement, we see their prayer. In a sense, this is more of a desire, but in a sense, I see almost a prayer here. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. By the way, other times in Psalm 119, you will see him pray about God's word. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. He's talking to God. I wish, Lord, I could keep your statutes and my ways would be right. I would praise thee with uprightness of heart that when I shall have learned their righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. He's talking to God here about this, about his obedience and doing right. Have you ever thought about that? You ought to make obeying God something you put on your prayer list. You see, the things we're supposed to do, we're supposed to do them, period. We have no excuse. But I know this, we'll be more energized to do those things when we make it a matter of prayer.
Sir.
He says somewhere in Psalm 119, oh, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of my law. He says, Lord, as I'm in your book, can you help me to behold the wondrous things? Remember Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, lead me not into temptation. That's a prayer. I wonder how many, these things are on my list. I wonder how many times we get into temptation because we didn't pray. Now I know, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, and he'll provide a way of escape. wonderful. But I'd rather have the escape hatch before it happens, right? I'd rather not have to go through it. And that's what he's saying. Here are some things. By the way, you know what prayers are? Prayers come from a desire of the heart. We pray about that which is important to us. We do. If something is important to us, it gets into our prayer. And so if we put some of these things, I just wrote down, just thought some thoughts I had. Ask him to help you in your understanding of the Bible. Lord, when I read the Bible this morning, can you help me to learn something? Ask him to give you wisdom as you live your life. Lord, as I'm living today, if a situation comes up, Lord, help me to have your mind. Bring to remembrance the things. That's what asking for wisdom is for. Ask him to help you be a blessing to others. Now be careful, because what will happen is he might just put someone in your path that needs your help. So, well, I didn't think he was going to actually do it. It was just on my prayer list, you know? Ask him to help you share his word with the lost. And then show up on Tuesday nights so we can get to 300 in 2 weeks. Okay? Just once. Let's just do that, okay? And, man, I've just heard nothing but great stories. John Castle had some great stories of people they met just out soul winning. Providential. Ask him to help you give as you should. And then download Simple Give. Okay? Give. Lord, you know what? By the way, if you have a desire to, in anything, desire to give, you say, Lord, I'd like to have the capacity maybe to give more. And your heart is right and you're giving with what you have. Maybe God will bless you so you can give more. Now everybody's going to put that on their prayer list, right? And now it's because of selfishness and God's not going to answer that until the building's done. Ask him to help you to live as a Christian. Lord, help me to live right. And you can just go on and on. The things you desire to do for God, as you are striving to do them, ask God to help you to do them. That's how prayer works. And what happens? These are just some of the things that will help us to be blessed. You know what blessed means? Happy. Now, we taught through Philippians several years ago. And as I was studying through Philippians and reading it, he wants us to have joy. You could say happiness. Now, I'm one of these that used to say, you don't want happiness because happiness is a result of happenings. And that's true, I get it. But joy you can have in all of your circumstances. You can use the words interchangeably, though. I'm fine with it because I know what you mean. Someone says, well, God doesn't want you to be happy. He wants you to be holy. That sounds good, except for one thing. That makes me think if I'm holy, I won't be happy.
Come on.
And nothing could be farther from the truth.
Right.
And the closer we get to God, the better we live, the more blessed we are.
Amen.
And so maybe if we follow these, we'll get there, okay? Let's pray.